Hey, everybody, and welcome to the American Citizens Podcast. My name is Gray. I'm back, and I did not expect Man City to almost sign a third of a new team while I was away.
Yeah, basically, right? It's been pretty impressive. When compared to other teams in the Premier League, this is I mean, you talk about hitting the ground running, man. The transfer window hasn't even opened. This is ridiculous. This is just...
I was just supposed to be away for a nice relaxing week, not expecting anything to really get done, but things got done, so here we are. I'm Gray, that's Josh, obviously, if you listen to us, you know that, and so what this is going to be is we have a whole set of things planned basically to deal with all of this stuff that's gone down today. What we're going to talk about is we're going to talk about the guys that we know have signed or are signing, which includes Bernardo Silva, Ederson, and Sky reported this morning that Benjamin
Mendy
isn't done, but he has chosen City, so we'll touch on that as well. And what we're going to do next week, since we know that we have the guys that we've got, and we know there are still a million rumors flying around out there. So what we're going to do is we are going to talk to Sam Lee from Goal.com next week on a podcast, and we are going to deal with all the stuff about what about these central defenders, or what about midfield, or what about Alexis Sanchez? All that stuff, we are not going to touch on that in this podcast, but we are definitely going to go very in-depth on it next week when we have Sam Lee, who will be able to offer probably more clarity than we can on topics such as that. So we know we got some questions. We have seen those questions. We will pose those questions to the insider when we talk to him next week.
You'd much rather have Sam answering these questions about targets than us, because he actually talks to the club and gets information.
We talk to some people, we read some things, but we're not quite insiders. He is.
Right.
So
we're about as inside as you can get for Americans, though. I mean, outside of Mark Stein.
Mark Stein needs a job, so maybe he can be the. He can be the new insider.
I had suggested to Mark Stein that he start work covering Man City.
Mark Stein should come on our podcast, is what should happen.
Man, I will reach out to him and see if he's down.
That would be wonderful.
I'm serious, I will.
So while we do that, Sam Lee will be on next week, and for now let's talk about the people who have signed in the order that they have signed or will sign. Which leads us to Bernardo Silva, which came pretty much out of the blue. I know that the betting markets moved a little bit the day before, and that was really the only indication we had that anything was happening until he literally showed up at the CFA to sign his contract and do his medical. So, it came out of nowhere in part because I think this is a position that a lot of people didn't really think Man City were going to target. They already have so many creative midfielders that I don't think people assumed that this was going to be something they were in for. But I think we both remarked toward the end of the season that we were noticing that Kevin De Bruyne was looking a little bit tired. Oh, we're going to talk about Yaya Toure signing a new contract as well. I forgot that at the beginning, but we are. But anyway, Bernardo Silva is a guy who can fit in with the other Silva, David Silva, and Kevin De Bruyne, sort of rotate around with them, spell one of them on any given day. We have talked for so long about City's lack of depth. Like, we know they have a really good starting 11. We know that. But there have been moments in the Pellegrini tenure, and even this year, you could tell Guardiola kind of figured out quickly that there was a limit to how much he could trust the guys who weren't playing every week.
I think Guardiola also figured out, which we talked about way back when, and I don't even think people remember this. Remember there was a debate over the size of the squad Guardiola would carry, because
yes, I remember.
He was notorious for carrying small squads. And I said, I don't think that's going to happen in the Premier League because you can't do it. you just simply cannot do it.
And not if you want to compete before.
And I think Guardiola figured that out.
The remit from the club and the manager is that this team wants to compete for all four trophies. And that's obviously, you know, we're not expecting the quadruple, but the goal is let's go win as much as we can. If we can win all four, awesome.
Certainly and, not as reported by James Robson, was that he had to win.
I don't know how much of Khaldun's end of season interview you've watched. I watched all of it last night. I'm not really surprised that the club wants to become more insular with its media policy, considering everything that they say that gets twisted into something else. It reminds me of the Pellegrini 5 trophies in 5 years thing, which was said not as a target, but as, you know, sort of a, boy, wouldn't it be great if? And the media twisted into, if Pellegrini doesn't win 5 trophies in 5 years, he will have failed and they'll fire him, which was not true. Just like it's also not true that Pep Guardiola will be a failure if he fails to win the quadruple, although they would love it if they could win the quadruple. These things aren't mutually exclusive, but, you know, we need headlines, we need clickbait, we need bullshit like that. And I don't swear often on this podcast, so I apologize, but it just seems like the most fitting thing to say at the moment. Anyway, on the topic of Bernardo Silva, I think this is the first real clear sign that there is actual long-term planning happening at this club now. Because it hasn't been happening often enough in the last several years. But this is both a guy who can contribute now in terms of sort of in terms of playing, like this is not like some backup that they've brought in to just be there in case someone gets hurt. This is a guy who can play every week if they need him to, but they won't need him to. He can spell Silva, he can spell De Bruyne, and not only that, but this is quite clearly the long-term successor to David Silva, who is, you know, getting older. We don't like to admit that, but he is.
Well, he's getting older, and he's never really been healthy, you
know?
He's
31 years old. I mean, they kept him healthy this year, more or less, but we know that this is a guy who's probably within 4 or 5 years is going to be either into the Yaya Toure squad rotation role or not at the club anymore. And that's where Bernardo Silva comes in.
Yep. And I think the Bernardo Silva signing was a bit of a shock to me because we'd never even heard his name brought up. Like, it just, until that day, we never heard anything.
We've been hearing the same name since, like, March. You know, yeah. Alexis Sanchez, they want. We know
Kylian Mbappe.
Mendy has been tossed around for a few weeks. Ederson has been tossed around for quite some time, yes. Pretty much since Guardiola took over. So guys like that, you know, we're not looking at that and being like, oh, wow, that came out of nowhere. Because it's not. Bernardo Silva came out of nowhere.
Yeah. He just sort of popped up one day and was like, guess what? I'm at the CFA. And everyone was like, oh, well, this isn't a crap signing, so nobody was upset by it. Like, we knew that City were going to raid Monaco. We didn't know exactly what they were going to take from Monaco. But I think at the end of the day, because there had been a lot of links to Fabinho, because Fabinho played right back. But Fabinho got moved to center midfield for Monaco this year. And I think Guardiola looked at Bernardo Silva versus Fabinho and said, give me the guy that's more talented and been playing the position longer. You know, I mean, it's great that Fabinho can double as a right back, but he was never really amazing as a right back.
They're very different types of players.
I will take Kyle Walker over him any day.
Well, yeah. I still want Fabinho. I think he'd be perfect. But, because I don't think that he and Bernardo Silva occupy the same role. But
no, I don't think they would either. But I also don't think that Monaco is going to sell more than 2 players to Man City. Like, and Benjamin Mendy is one of the likely signings. So
I don't think they care as long as someone pays.
that could also be true because that the remit from the club and their statement was every one of our players is for sale. Like,
basically.
They said that. So Monaco is one of those squads that just, they're not worried about it because the talent they scout is so, they're so good at scouting.
They've already brought in Yuri Tielemans, who's going to be a really good player.
Yeah, I think I love Tielemans. I always trade for him on FIFA. Not that that sort of thing matters, but it's a fun thing to say. I mean, you look at Monaco and the job that, I mean, this is the same club that sold James Rodriguez to Real. Like, I mean, they find talent. They'll be fine. So, if they're willing to sell Fabinho and City can get Mendy, Fabinho and Bernardo Silva, then I'm all for it because Kyle Walker can't play everything.
No, he can't. I feel like the thing about Silva is that there's a clear focus happening on the midfield now. City have put so much into the forward position, and are planning to put more into the forward position this summer.
And they've stated both Caldun and Guardiola now that Aguero is not going anywhere. So
God for that.
I don't know how much more clear that can get.
I think it had been settled for some time now after his in late season form when it became clear that something changed and he was much more adaptable to what they were asking him to do.
I think he was on his way out possibly. And then all of a sudden it clicked for him and Guardiola was like, you know what, wait a minute.
Is it possible that Gabriel Jesus getting hurt saved Sergio Aguero's City career? Which is a really funny thing to think.
Yeah, and more importantly, it's when you look at the goals that Aguero was providing at the end of the season versus Jesus. Not that Jesus still didn't score and provide assists, but when you look at Aguero's goal ratio at the end of the season, it just became apparent, man, that this is just a guy you can't sell. You just can't sell him. I mean,
you're not really going to find anyone better.
No. No. And if you do, what are they going to cost you?
Exactly.
I never thought I would see Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang go to PSG. Like, of all the clubs that were going to sign him, that was not even remotely close to one of the ones. I thought for sure he'd go to Real, possibly Manchester United. I know I really wanted him at City because he's just plain one of my favorite players. But PSG came out of nowhere, and I'm kind of surprised he wants to go to PSG over Dortmund because, and I had this argument with somebody who's like, why, PSG are as big of a club as Dortmund? No, they're not. PSG have only been around since the 70s. Like, Dortmund has been around for a long time, and everyone knows that Bayern Munich is the best club in Germany, but their foil have always been Dortmund. That's the rivalry. I don't see PSG, like, I mean, I don't know.
I think PSG are sure as hell more likely to win the Champions League in the next 5 years than Dortmund are.
Well, with Aubameyang now, sure. If Aubameyang had stayed with Dortmund, I don't believe that.
I don't agree. I think Dortmund are a feeder club. They're a really they're one of the world's leading feeder clubs, but they're a stepping stone to everyone leaving for Bayern or someone else.
And that may be true, but Paris Saint-Germain have not proven that they are capable of competing on the European stage. In fact, Paris Saint-Germain were the victim of the largest comeback in European history. Like, how on earth they lost to Barcelona is impressive. Like, it's impressive. Like, that is up there with 28-3. It really is. Or the Golden State Warriors blowing a 3-1 lead.
Well, it's worse, but where's Dortmund going? Where's Dortmund going in the Champions League?
Dortmund's been in a Champions League final
5 years ago.
Well, yeah, but
with a completely different team.
Yeah, but when it, well, I mean, yes and no. I mean, some of the fundamental players are still there. I'll grant you that a lot of the good ones are gone. But I actually think that what Dortmund have now are actually better than maybe what they did have then. Like, I look at some of the young talent that they have, and I'm like, this is a good club, man. And I don't think they're a feeder club. I think they're a step removed from a feeder club. Dortmund compete. They truly do compete.
I think they're better than a feeder club, but I don't think they're as close to Europe's elite. I mean,
I don't think PSG are close.
I think they're closer than Dortmund.
How is that possible when Dortmund keep going further than Paris Saint-Germain on a year-by-year basis?
Man City went further than pretty much every club in the Champions League last year. Are they closer to winning Europe than Barcelona were?
I'm not saying that they're closer to winning than Barcelona, but you're taking 1 year. I'm saying on a year-by-year basis, Dortmund continuously outpaced Paris Saint-Germain. Like, they managed to get further. And whether or not that means that they could win it, I don't know. But I don't see PSG set up to win. Like, they are buying a lot of talent. Until recently, I don't think they had a plan. I actually think it's pretty... Unai Emery, I was hoping they were not going to fire him. Like, I thought firing Unai Emery would be a really stupid reaction. I know that he blew a historic lead against Barca, but it's flipping Barca. So the rules go out the window. And not only is he capable of destroying Barca like he did, but that team is capable of going further now with Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, but they still need to address several issues, and they did lose out on Ligue 1 to Monaco. So, I don't know, man. I feel like
we could debate this for a while.
Sure.
Where were we? Bernardo Silva.
Bernardo Silva coming out of nowhere,
coming
you know?
Out of nowhere, It's just, I feel like This summer reminds me of the summer of 2010, which I think is City's last really impactful. You could make a case for 2015 because they brought in Raheem Sterling and Kevin De Bruyne. That's fair.
But they're only, I think, like, three poignant signings.
Yeah, I think 2010 was the year that you saw them bring in two absolute pillars of this club in Yaya Toure and David Silva. Not to mention they actually signed Jerome Boateng this summer, who turned out to be a world-class defender just for someone else. But, that was such a huge summer for the club because it was summer when they got the guys that eventually took them into the Champions League, won them a trophy. I feel like an important point, like a reset point in the club's transfer strategy. And I'm starting to feel the same way about this summer because the names you look at them bringing in, they're young, but they are accomplished, and they're guys that are going to be able to walk into the first 11 right away in positions of need and possibly contribute for 5-10 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the names that they are attached to, with the exception of Alexis Sanchez, are all players that are young, but as you said, accomplished and ready to compete.
And just to clarify, even Alexis Sanchez is a guy who, you know...
Yeah, he's entering his prime.
You can sign all the young guys that you want, but the big criticism of City lately is that I feel they have not been signing, like, the finished product.
I want to go a step further here, and I brought this up on our Twitter account. When people say they don't need Sanchez, I think that's false. I think you look at Sanchez, and it's not just what he provides on the pitch, because no doubt he's an absolute incredible footballer. But Who are Raheem Sterling and Leroy Sané supposed to learn from? What was it, Nolito?
No,
is that their teacher?
You. Maybe, you know, maybe they can learn how to lose their cool and headbutt people for no good reason from Nolito.
Yeah, and people wonder when he had a falling out of favor. No, look no further than that incident. You know, you look at the talent that City have. It's young, it's impressive, but they also need somebody to learn from. And I think Alexis Sanchez provides that. I think he provides a boost to not just veteran leadership within the club, but also a pillar that Raheem Sterling and Leroy Sané can learn from, how to play the wing position. And Raheem Sterling, you know, you talk about finishers. This is a guy that's going to help him, you know, teach him how to finish from the wing, which is what Guardiola wants. He wants his wingers to be finishers. You look at how unafraid Arjen Robben is to take a shot and how everybody knows what Arjen Robben's going to do and they still cannot stop it. Like, he's going to put the ball on his left foot and he's going to curl it around the keeper. You know it's coming and you still can't stop it. That's the kind of productivity Guardiola wants from his wingers. And when Ribery was healthy, that's what he gives you. He's a master at dribbling and at footwork. And I think that's what Alexis Sanchez provides. And I think that's why Guardiola wants him so much, is because he can become a teacher to these young men in addition to becoming just a ridiculous contributor already. Like, if you look at what City have, now you're talking about an attacking trident of possibly Alexis Sanchez, Sergio Aguero, Gabriel Jesus, David Silva, Bernardo Silva, and Kevin De Bruyne. Like, okay, that'll do, Dunk. That'll do. You're certainly going to find goals, right?
Mm-hmm. You're going to find goals, but nice opportunity for a transition. If you want that team to be as good as they can be, they need to be built on a sturdy foundation. And City have already gone to work on that foundation. As we record this, it has not been confirmed by Man City, but it has been confirmed by literally everyone else, including the selling club and the player himself, that Ederson has signed for Manchester City. The Benfica
5-year deal.
5-year deal. Not a world record for a goalkeeper, because in terms of euros, Buffon costs more. But It's kind of academic. This is clearly the long-term solution where Claudio Bravo was not, for better or worse.
They tried to buy back Geronimo Rulli, but Real Sociedad didn't want to sell. Like,
well,
that's
it
what
was
I,
either. Well, it's not up to Sociedad. There's a release clause. I read it as Rulli didn't want to come.
Which I find funny.
Yeah.
What the hell was the point of that side? Like, that is just one of these days I'm going to need that explained to me in detail.
Explain it? It's just a guy who's locked in for a few years. They're doing the same thing with everyone now. They sold Ines.
No. Real Sociedad bought him back. They bought him back in the middle of the year.
Yes, I know. And
he's gone. He's gone.
No, there's a City have a buyout clause. They have a.
Not anymore.
Yes, they do.
I didn't think they did.
Yes, they do.
Okay. All right. I'm wrong. I did not think they did. I thought that the whole purpose of Real buying him back was that eliminated the buyback clause.
That was not my understanding of it. But either way,
it doesn't matter.
It's apparently clear that he didn't feel ready to come or didn't want to come. We know that Pep Guardiola actually wanted Ter Stegen last summer. Barca wouldn't sell and the player wouldn't leave, so they settled for Bravo. We all know how that worked out. This is the long-term solution. And I love the story that I want to credit Simon Curtis wrote. He is very well-versed in Portuguese football as well
yes.
as Man City football.
Yes,
so
he
would know this very well, that Pep Guardiola's interest in Ederson actually dates back to his final season at Bayern Munich, when Bayern and Benfica faced off in the Champions League, and Ederson was basically the reason that Benfica were able to stay in that tie. And Guardiola said outright, one of the talents Ederson has that so few goalkeepers have is that, yeah, he's good with the ball at his feet, but he has among the most accurate long passing in the world.
Judas Priest. That guy, there is a goal that's out there of him just booting it. And this, in football terms, is a 60-yard bomb straight into the receiver's hands. Like, I mean, I don't know a goalkeeper. Like, you remember that practice drill they used to have in FIFA for the goalie where you had to, like, kick it and knock down those boxes? This is Ederson getting, like, gold in that. Like, a perfect gold, this pass. And it was, I mean, it's not hard to understand when you see this guy play, when you see the talent. Like, I was watching, now that Man City have signed him, I was watching the Benfica-Dortmund Champions League just on replay. And, you know, what this guy can do with his long passing and the ball at his feet, in addition to how savvy he is. Like, there were times, like, Dortmund won pretty handily, but it wasn't for, you know, lack of Ederson trying. Like, he kept it from being probably, like, 5 or 6 to 1, but it was just ridiculous watching him come out, block shots. I mean, he's such an active keeper. This is a beautiful signing. Like, I truly think Ederson is one of those things where people are going to look back on it and say, oh man, this could be one of the signings that Manchester City make.
Right. I think, you know, I see, oh, he reminded Pep of Neuer. I'm like, well, okay. I don't think we've just signed Manuel Neuer. But Guardiola openly admitted, he's like, well, we tried to press him up, and he was just able to go right over our press, and it caused us huge problems. And I think that's the key, because if you have a guy who can do both, then you're keeping the press honest on both. Because they have to, they're trying to prevent moves from the back, but this is also...
And City have the flick-ons, yeah, too.
There are also a guy who can pick out a forward in the opposite box from his own box. So, there's no easy way to defend that. There's going to be mistakes. Guardiola plays a high-risk game by design, and it's going to lead to mistakes sometimes. We have to accept that.
And there's going to be certain teams that they just don't match up well against for
Hopefully, his first game is not against Manchester United at Old Trafford, where he's put on into the firing line and left to make huge mistakes, which I think was one of Guardiola's worst moves of the entire season. There's going to be mistakes. He's still so young, especially in goalkeeper terms, where these guys aren't even hitting their prime until their 30s. You're talking about a guy who's...
Yeah, how old is Neuer? He's like 29, right?
How old is Neuer now? That's a good question. Neuer is 31 now.
Oh, okay, crap. See, I mean, you're saying that City haven't signed Manuel Neuer. Yeah. I mean, we don't know that. Manuel Neuer wasn't Manuel Neuer, really, until the World Cup of 2014. That's really when Manuel Neuer stepped onto the stage and people were like, okay, this is the best goalkeeper in the world.
Because Guardiola took him and turned him into that, basically. That was after his first year at Bayern.
Oh, I thought this was fun, too. I don't know if you saw it, but the number of teams that are now playing three at the back, the number of games where teams play three at the back in Germany is almost like triple what it was before Guardiola. Like, obvious Pep effect of teams playing three at the back. Like, this is a guy that changes things wherever he goes, and now they're loading him up. They're completing. Khaldun said it. The first half of the reset began last year. Now you're talking about the second half of the reset, and there will be more money spent next year. Don't get me wrong. I don't think it'll be near as much.
It's a three-four year cycle. Unless Benjamin Garay gets us transfer banned, but, you know, whatever.
I thought FIFA already cleared that.
No, they're taking us to court over it because YOLO. But
I know, but I'm saying I thought FIFA had already cleared
taking,
it.
The selling club is taking both City and FIFA to the Court of Arbitration Sport over it.
Right, and I that's what I'm saying. I don't know
what's going to happen, and it was more of an offhanded, jokey comment, but I don't.
I think City are in a decent position if FIFA had ruled. Well, I mean, FIFA's obviously not a pillar of ethical morality, but I think having a governing body already rule in favor of you is of a benefit. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean the CAS will rule against Man City, but I don't think they'll get hit with the maximum because FIFA had cleared it. I think, if anything, if they do get hit with it, it'll be a one-year transfer ban, and I think that would be it. I think it'd be a one window, just because they have that going for them. So I think that would reduce the penalty, if that makes sense. It would soften the blow.
I have no idea, and I'm not well-versed enough to even speak on it. So,
fair enough. But let's just pray that it doesn't happen, yeah?
It was an offhanded comment. But, yeah, I think we're looking at a 3-4-year cycle here. And this is year two. And this is also the closest that we're getting to I think what he had in Barcelona, because at Bayern he didn't have that full transfer control. They were selling players from out under his nose. They were selling Toni Kroos from out under his nose. He was still trying to like throw together the team he wanted at the same time as, yeah, he got some guys he wanted, but he also lost some guys that he had that he wanted to keep. So you're looking at something in Barca. Obviously, he had La Masia coming up. He knew the club so well. This is different, but at the same time, he's never had this amount of resources available for him to just, okay, Pep, here's the world. Who do you want?
Yep.
And so I think that's why this summer is the big one, because now he knows. I think he found out very quickly that more of the squad than he realized were not.
And I think that may be why we originally saw that City were going to spend around $200 million. Now I've seen that number jump up about $150 million in a lot of papers. And I think that...
Well, I mean, why mess about as long as you're not going to get hit by FFP?
Their
revenues are fine now.
Yeah, they're totally fine. I think the reason that the number has jumped is just in case of the Benjamin Garay thing. I think that they're like, all right, in the event of, let's just go ahead and get most of what we need now. And I think that's partly why they're like, okay, let's get this, and this. I mean, they were already going to spend a pretty penny, but now you're starting to see a few more names creep into the. Now Bonucci's name is starting to appear.
We've seen four center backs in the last 24 hours going to be talking to Sam Lee about.
Well, and Lucas Hernandez is reportedly was close to being done.
Yeah, if they'd gotten the transfer ban lifted, which they did not.
Yeah, so...
So apparently that's happening next summer instead, which is something.
Yeah.
I love how Ederson's Wikipedia page already has him at Manchester City, by the way.
That's awesome.
Because literally, City are literally the last people. Even Sky Sources are ahead of them on this one, which is never. Which Sky Sources are like,
I think it's still third party crap that City.
No, it is still third party crap that the Premier League is sorting through. But I was going. I just had to make a joke about Sky Sources, because Sky Sources literally reported that Gael Clichy was leaving Manchester City after Manchester City had confirmed. After Gael Clichy himself had confirmed that he was leaving Manchester City.
They're kind of slow
Which led me to remark, so was Sky's source on this one Gale Clichy himself? But yes.
I remember that tweet. I remember, though, I laughed pretty hard. She was like, really? Way to be on top of this one. Like, there was another one that Sky Sources had. It was like breaking news. So-and-so is not leaving the club. And they're like, everyone underneath was like, how the hell is this breaking? Like, I'm not doing this. Like, is that breaking? Like, it was one of the funniest things ever. I mean, they're just... That's what I love. I absolutely love about this time of year is Howard Hawken and the people who are miserably wrong, the fan-based outlets that are like, you know, United We Stand and stuff that are reporting all these deals being done, and then it's like, oops, no, they weren't. Like, very clearly,
if you believe everything you read this time of year, you will go mad.
Oh,
because 80% of it is not true.
Oh, you go so insane. That's the one thing I love about City, though. For the past couple of years, it's just, you know who their targets are, and mm-hmm. you know it's going to get done.
Like, you need to, like, have, like, this checklist of reliable sources. Like, if it's the Mirror, you can throw it out unless it's Simon Mullock. If it's the Sun, you can throw it out unless it's Martin Blackburn. Goal is fine because Sam Lee knows what he's talking about. The Independent, The Guardian, The Times usually aren't publishing complete garbage because they're actual newspapers with a reputation as opposed to trash rag tabloids.
Mm-hmm.
It's the foreign stuff that really gets, because you have no idea what's wrong.
Yeah, you cannot trust anything.
You have no idea who informs your level.
Canal Plu is like the world. It's like Duncan Castles times 10.
You even look at, like, DiMarzio, who's, like, the god of transfers, and even he's gotten, like, City stuff wrong before.
Oh, if Marca reports, like, you can guarantee mm-hmm. that if it's a player that Real want, they're going to say the player wants to play at Real. Like, guaranteed. Go back and type in X wants to play at Real, and you'll see Marca just with... that paper will pop up no matter which name you type in. Like, they are guaranteed. And AS is I think a Barca friendly paper, I believe.
Yeah, I
know one of them.
I know Barca and Ray. I know one's Marca is one and AS is the other. I think it might be the other way around. I'm genuinely not sure because I just ignore.
I
ignore 90% of whatever they report anyway because it's just a mouthpiece for their.
For the club, yeah.
Then you have L'Equipe in France, and I don't even know. I don't know. L'Equipe is reporting different things about Mbappe now.
L'Equipe is better than Canal Plu, though. L'Equipe
is reporting that Man City, Real Madrid, and Arsenal have positioned themselves in the race for Kylian Mbappe. Like hell is Mbappe going to Arsenal now, but whatever.
I think... I don't understand.
I think Mbappe is going to Real or no one this summer, honestly.
I don't understand why. I don't necessarily believe that, dude. I think Mbappe could come to City if City truly want him. I just don't believe that if Monaco have truly placed a price tag on him of 110 million euros, I just don't see City doing it. Like, that's stupid. That's more than Pogba cost, and Kylian Mbappe is nowhere near the player Pogba was when he got sold. Like, you could at least argue that Paul Pogba deserved to go for the world record fee. You could argue it. You cannot argue that with Kylian Mbappe. Like, I don't think that having one breakout season makes a player worth more than anybody has ever paid for any player in the history of the game. Like, I would find City to be desperate if they spent think of how much that could go towards, like, I mean, you could get so many other players for that. Like, I would rather them get Yusuf Poulsen. Like, I mean, if you're going to spend that kind of money, like, I don't know, dude. I don't think Kylian Mbappe is worth that. Do you?
No, I don't. And that's the thing, is that Monaco don't really have to sell. He will stay if... And so yeah. They don't really have, you know, incentive for a cut.
Well, he flat out said it himself. Why leave when I can have playing time?
If I'm leaving, I want to play. He's only 18. It's not like this is the last chance he's going to have to make a big move.
No.
So.
And if he has another year like he did this year, then you can guarantee it's going to be an even more much. Like,
Real Madrid will be happy to pay for him. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, Ederson, I think, this is where it starts, because for so long last year they were dealing with a guy who couldn't make saves or a guy who was sort of trying to adapt on the fly to Guardiola's style and not completely doing it. He did his best, Willy Caballero, and God bless him for that. If you told me before the League Cup final that Willy Caballero was eventually going to leave Man City with the complete and utter well wishes of everyone involved with the club and the fan base, I would have laughed at you. But that's where we ended up.
Yeah, I mean, Willy Caballero had just a stunning performance against Liverpool. I mean, in that shootout, that trio of saves that he made, like, I mean, and this is coming on the heels of a game where we're like, should he start? And both of us were like, no.
Because that was right after that FA Cup game against Chelsea,
yeah.
Where they played all backups, and he was just awful.
Yep.
And then they were, and then you're like, this is...
But I brought that up!
We all said it, we all thought it, there's no need to... We were all just like, oh my god, we're going to do this, and he's going to cost us the game. But, Willy Caballero, God bless you, man. I will remember you fondly.
He did not cost anyone anything. In fact, he was directly responsible for the reason they won. I mean,
fondly, Willy.
I was watching that shootout the other day, because of course, once he was leaving with, as you said, the well wishes of the fans, things were getting tweeted out, and somebody had tweeted a video of that shootout, and it's just, I could watch it over and over again, just, like, watching him go, like, there was one of those saves was absolutely outstanding. I think it was against Coutinho.
It was either Coutinho or Lallana, I feel like.
It was one of those.
I know exactly the one you're
two.
Talking about, though.
It was just, because two of them were kind of like, they weren't necessarily the best penalties.
They were solid penalties, solid saves, but they were poor penalties.
Yeah, exactly. But one of them was
a really,
really
good penalty and a really good save.
Exact. He just guessed it, got it, like he got his hand up.
That was the one with the iconic moment where he popped up and did just that almighty fist pump and screamed at the crowd, because it was the last save he had to make. It set Yaya up to convert the penalty that won it, which everyone knew he would do. So,
yeah, because Yaya doesn't miss penalties.
I feel like we should say, by the way, there were four players who left Man City last week while we were away, and there was some snarking on social media, and I did not like that one bit, because let's go one by one. We talked about Willy. He basically won them a trophy. Bakary Sagna was an excellent, excellent servant for 3 years. It's a shame we couldn't win him a league. Very, very solid right back who deserves the well wishes of everyone.
He just struggled with Guardiola's system.
Yeah,
as well.
I mean, it's time to move on. There's no shame in that. Same with Gael Clichy, who was, for a while, an integral part of this team. Won the Premier League twice, was always a very solid defensive fullback, where Kolarov never was.
You knew that when Gael Clichy started, there would be some defensive stability. At the back. It may not be the best going forward.
He was a solid, solid player for his time, and he deserves praise as well. And even Jesus Navas has made his contribution.
I was kind of sad. I understood why he went to
Sevilla.
Sevilla
offered him 3 years, and it's home, and I get that.
And they offered him, he was going to be a bit part player at City, whereas Sevilla wanted him to go there. And, like, again, it comes down to he can play. And why not? Why wouldn't you? Like, 1 year deal versus a 3 year deal where you're going to play in the position that you want.
I totally
understand why.
But I think it says a lot that Jesus Navas actually played himself into a role on that team next season if he'd wanted it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, he always, The thing about City fans, I think, and I know I said this, but I feel like, look, that mistakes will be made. We know that. We get that. But if you're giving 100%, people will get over it. Jesus Navas, sure, he never really had the end product, and he didn't offer as much as I think people wanted him to. But he always worked so hard for the team.
110%, man, defensively, too. He does not get enough credit for how good of a defensive player he was. And there are so many times that there are GIFs where you just see Jesus, somebody else make a huge mistake. But for Jesus Navas, it could have been awful. He would slide into a position that even he wouldn't be playing, but he slid in there because that was the space that was vacated. He instinctually already played the way that Guardiola wanted. If somebody vacates the space, you fill it. And he, that's why he adapted so well to what Guardiola wanted, and I think that's why he got more playing time than people probably thought he would. And I think that's also why Guardiola probably started using him as a right back toward the end of the season, because he's so good defensively, and he's pacey as hell moving forward. So you get those overlaps with speed, and I feel like maybe Guardiola, if he had it to do over again, he probably would have been using Jesus Navas a lot more at right back from
day one.
Yeah.
I agree completely. So I think all four of those players serve a tip of the cap. They have played their roles.
And I don't like that people also, but piggybacking off of what you said, I really don't like that people were snarking or saying stuff about some of those. I mean, like you said, all four of these guys contributed to the building of City, with the exception of Bakary Sagna, who kind of came after the fact. But
yeah, he was a steady hand for 3 years. But the other three all won. You know, Caballero won a trophy, but Navas and Clichy won league titles. Clichy won two. So
yeah.
Benjamin Mendy, the infamous Sky Sources. If Sky Sources are reporting it, it's going to happen, because Sky Sources would report that the sun is rising at noon. But the Sky Sources have been reporting that Mendy has chosen Manchester City over Liverpool, and it sounds like it's only a matter of time before that gets done.
Yeah, and Liverpool papers are reporting that they've backed out of the race for Mendy because they understand.
Liverpool are actually eyeing Gael Clichy, actually. So, yeah, a left back 4 years later than it should have been. But here we are, finally. And we watched this guy in two legs in the Champions League, and he was just up and down and up and down. Crosses, you name it. You can see why they made him such a priority.
Yeah. Pace, ability, offers a lot going forward. This is the remit from Guardiola. We are going to be an attacking club. These guys might not, like, if you look at Kyle Walker and Benjamin Mendy on their stats, defensively, like, they showed Kyle Walker versus, I think, Pablo Zabaleta, and Kyle Walker obviously offered way more going forward, but he wasn't as good defensively. But he also wasn't awful defensively. Like, he was solid, but he was great going forward. And that's what Man City are looking for. Solid at the back, great going forward. And Benjamin Mendy fits the bill, and much like Bernardo Silva, he loves Guardiola. He's commented on Guardiola
tweet that got retweeted from 2013. He had to clarify that. It was like, I haven't signed yet. That made me laugh. That cracked me up.
Yeah,
Mendy is apparently, the latest report is he's currently on international duty. He will apparently fly into Manchester and sign after he is finished with his obligations with France. It should be next week. So,
yeah.
Nice. I don't think you can have any complaints. The people aren't really whining about the prices, which I'm pleased with, because at this point, you know what? Identify what you need, figure out how much it'll cost, Figure out if you can afford it. If you can, do it. I am done
dealing
with these prices.
I don't think that they're paying too much for anything.
It's the going rate now. You know, it's not 20. It's not even 2012 anymore. When Sergio Aguero cost $38 million, which at the time was really expensive, but now, you know, he's probably worth twice that. It's a different environment. There's more money in the Premier League. These clubs can spend more money, and they are spending more money. So you just get used to it and deal with it. I have zero problem with it.
I also don't think they're spending a lot. If I look at what Ederson went for, considering that they had to deal with third parties, fantastic.
Yeah, that's very true. They got him below the release clause, which is no small thing.
Mm-hmm. You look at what Bernardo Silva cost, fine by me.
$43 million is a steal. It's crazy to say that, but that's a guy you're looking at who could be one of the top players. Like, that's, you're looking at a guy who could be De Bruyne or like every bit as good. And we remember the haggling that De Bruyne required, and he cost about 15 million, 10, 15 million more than Silva did. I thought that was a remarkably good deal, all things considered.
Yeah, and the same with what they're likely to pay for Mendy.
See a theory that Man City got a discount rate on Bernardo Silva because Monaco knew that this was not the last business they would be doing with Manchester City.
And I would buy that, because if you're buying in bulk, I would understand why Monaco, like, they're all about turning the dollar at Monaco. Like, they want to be in the plus, and Man City are willing to buy many of their players, it looks like. So, I mean, there's a possibility that Fabinho and Kylian Mbappe could still go to City. I mean, so I don't think Fabinho is going to happen. I haven't seen his name in any report.
He seems to have died off. He's closer to United than to City, which disappoints me, but we'll live. So, yeah, I think, obviously, they're 3 for 3 in good business so far, for me, no doubt.
And signing Yaya Toure, 4 for 4.
Let's talk about that, because I've said I waffled on this all season, and I know this is a really odd thing to say about a guy who just turned 34, but I think Yaya Toure grew up a little bit this year.
Yeah, I think he did too. I think Yaya Toure realized, you know, man, this just, and you saw his agent just shut up, man. He just shut up.
He did. Even throughout this whole process where they're like, this is the point in the past.
I'm shocked he said nothing.
This is the point in the past where Dmitry Selak would have been at his loudest.
Yeah.
And there is nothing.
Yep, about getting a new deal done, and he didn't say a damn thing.
If Man City don't respect my client, then we'll take our bag and leave. They're nothing.
Not a thing.
And I think Yaya realized, like, this is where I want to be. Something special is happening here. I can still contribute, and there's no doubt he can still contribute.
Especially the way that Pep dispatches him.
Yeah.
They have so
many midfielders that they're not going to need to do the whole, you know. Yaya Torre's...
Did you die?
I died. I'm here. They have so many midfielders that Pep Guardiola can rotate. Yaya doesn't have to do the week in, week out thing anymore. And that's no small thing. And so
he provides stability when you play Champions League.
And you're talking about a guy who really grew into his role in the locker room. He's so widely respected by his peers. Everyone in that locker room. I don't know if you saw Leroy Sané's tweet, but Leroy Sané called him Uncle Yaya. You can tell that there's just a great respect and admiration for him in that dressing room. And
he's a leader. With
City signing so many guys like 21, 22, 23, you need guys like that in there that have won. Yaya Toure has won everything, both at City and at Barcelona. He won the Champions League at Barcelona. He has won every domestic competition as a Manchester City player. He has done it all. There aren't a lot of guys in that locker room that can say they have done that. But he can. And that's no small thing.
No. And I think that's why I was... The same thing that I said about Alexis Sanchez applies double to Yaya Toure, because he's already been part of the fabric of Manchester.
And he knows what cities... for all the crap he's put like people through. He gets it. I think he gets it more than ever now that he's sort of nearing the end of his career and he's assessing his place. I think he understands it, and I think that he has definitely grown up this year.
And I also think, too, that he realizes the role that he's playing for City as makes him, like, he's looked outstanding this year because he wasn't overworked, he wasn't overplayed. That's why he was in a position.
He had a manager who knew what to do with him.
Uh-huh. And he became okay with the way that Guardiola used him, whereas in Barca, he had an issue with it. He sort of realizes the second time around, hey, I kind of screwed up when I said I didn't want to play his way at Barca. Like, this guy knows what the hell he's doing. He gets it now. And not only does he want to stay in Manchester and be a part, like, I think Yaya realizes that with the talent they're signing, they could compete for serious, serious trophies here in the next couple of years.
I think that there will be no such sort of... I mean, not that the fan base has sort of collectively shrugged at their trophyless season, but there will be much more rancor if they don't win anything next year.
Yeah, they had better win at least, I think, two trophies next year. And one of them should be the league title. I mean, I would understand if they won two other trophies and finished second as long as they put up a fight, but they cannot have another season like this season where they're stumbling to finish.
I think both of us are willing to sort of, not necessarily a mulligan, but we're willing to sort of, okay, there's your trophyless season, don't let it happen again, basically.
Yeah, basically. Like, I mean, I knew that Guardiola didn't really have the talent this season. Like, I knew it. He needed more talent. But I still feel like the talent that he had this season should have been able to win something. And their best chance, they botched, you know? And I don't know.
Yeah, they will be, especially given how Chelsea looked in that FA Cup final, I think City will be kicking themselves for letting that Arsenal semifinal get away.
Yeah.
Because Chelsea won the league, and then they looked like they mentally went on holiday before the FA Cup final.
Yeah, and City could have won that thing, and to be honest...
Especially the way that City looked like they were hitting a purple patch right at the end of the season. Because of course they did. That Watford game was probably one of their top five games of the entire season.
And I just don't understand why they happen to have those games around the games that mattered rather than through the games that mattered. But we both know that Guardiola kind of knew that this was going to be the one year he could get a mulligan. And and it's fine. It's fine. Like, I mean, people are like, oh, fire Guardiola. No, this guy's in the process of building something, and City have waited to get this guy.
I dared read a forum that shall not be named, and I just had to close it after like 10 minutes because, and I don't think it's representative of the fan base, but some... The vocal minority, shall we say. Some people are just very loud and very wrong about certain things.
Yeah, they you really know, are.
Like the presidential election.
Yeah, I mean, it's totally fine. And you're right. People are just very loud and very wrong about certain things. And I think that, you know, Guardiola is a guy, he is building something here. He is bringing in players that no matter what happens with him, once he leaves, whoever takes this over, it's going to be an appealing job. That's the thing.
It sure is.
You're going to be walking into one of the most loaded squads in the world along with an ownership group that clearly supports their managers. If they're doing what they need to do and competing, then City will give them the resources to succeed. Even Manuel Pellegrini got a ridiculous window to spend. And While we all know that that's likely because they were doing it ahead of time to appease Guardiola, it doesn't matter. It happened during Pellegrini's tenure.
They threw out 135 million on Wilfred Bonny at Pellegrini's request for no good reason.
Yep.
You're gonna get backed. You're gonna get backed.
42 million on Mangala for no good reason. Yep. They're gonna take a loss on him.
Yep. Well, the one last thing I wanted to say while we're on this topic, did you see those reports that apparently City want to engage Pep Guardiola in contract extension discussions because they think he will want to stay more than 3 years to watch this squad mature into the force that they think it capable of becoming?
I think that Pep Guardiola...
all for it.
Yeah, I think Pep Guardiola is likely... this is going to be his last stop as a manager.
I feel like this is his chance to forge a legacy that is his own, where he can't do it anywhere else. When he walked into the Barca job, he was already a Barca icon. Mm-hmm. And everything that Barca stand for existed before him. He obviously redefined it, but it existed before him, and it will exist after... and it has existed after he's gone.
There are people who ask if Luis Enrique's team is better than his. That was a serious conversation.
That's what you get. And Barca have, like, this long... And Guardiola will be the first to point at it. The foundation there was laid not by him, but by Cruyff. And at Bayern, he was always going to be going up against the shadows of the past.
Especially Pinkies, who did the treble. I mean,
you walk into a treble-winning team. It's hard to do that. At Manchester City, Manchester City's history is Colin Bell and Mike Summerbee, and not to demean any of this, but, you know, there is no identity at this club. There's no, you know, this is the City way. There's a Barca way, there's a Bayern way. There's no City way. This is his opportunity to instill one. And he did not have that opportunity at his other two clubs. And I do think that appeals to him and will continue to appeal to him.
And I agree with you. I think it... I think in this particular instance, Guardiola is able to do something that nobody has ever done before. Like, he can forge City into a club.
If he wins the Champions League at Manchester City, he will be the first to do at this club.
And he will go down in legend. That would cement, and not that he needs it, I'm just saying that would cement his legacy as one of the greatest managers ever to both as a player. That would put him up there with Cruyff. We talk about what, you know, how much he admires Cruyff. If he were able to do, because you look at what Cruyff did at Barcelona, he stepped in and created Barca. Before Cruyff, Barca was Barca, but it wasn't Barca. Now, after Cruyff, Barca is legend. It's lore. It's football royalty. It's blue blood. It's
one of the two biggest clubs in the world.
Exactly. And
Man United.
Yeah. And
it's them and Real Madrid.
And Pep Guardiola now has the chance to repeat what Cruyff did at Manchester City. He has the chance to be the guy that creates.
And we all know how much Guardiola idolizes Cruyff.
Exactly. And I think that this is his opportunity to step in and be a Cruyff-like figure in footballing history. And whether or not he wants to chase that, we'll see. But I think it's a real opportunity for him to do that here at Manchester City. And I think that's the reason he will extend, is because he knows that there's a legacy he can build here that you just can't build anywhere else.
For all the talk about the comments about the fans and the, oh, I would have been sacked if I was at a bigger club, which I think was, you know, he's right, but it came off wrong, if that makes sense. For all the talk about those comments, I think he does enjoy it here. He likes it here. He's getting a support system that he's never had. Even at Barca, there was just so much politicking going on behind him that it was one of the contributing factors that drove him out of the club.
It's the same reason Luis Enrique is bouncing after 3 years.
Yep. The Barca job is not one that you stay in for a long period of time.
No, it is not.
Even if you win it all. But, you're looking at a situation, I think, this is the closest he's ever going to get to ideal working conditions. Because City are not a particularly political club, you know. They have a hierarchy in place that is pretty generally... I mean, they're demanding in what they expect you to deliver, but they're not really going to stick their noses in and tell you how they want you to deliver.
Yeah, they're not going to be like Karl-Heinz Rummenigge, who's commenting
behind scenes. This is the way we do things here.
Undercutting Guardiola at every possible turn. Like, Khaldun speaks at the end of the year.
Right.
That's when Khaldun speaks.
They know what they want to do and how they want to do it, but they're going to give Guardiola a pretty wide berth in carrying out his plan.
Mm-hmm. As well they should.
The guy has proven that he deserves that chance.
And look at how much they've spent to get to this point. They, as owners, built the club after what they saw in 2000 in whatever when they went and played at the Nou Camp. And they're like, holy crap, like with La Masia, they were just blown away with everything. And they sought to recreate that environment, and that's why they went after Pep, he was the ultimate prize. And now you look at Manchester City and you say, okay, you've spent how much money to get to this point? Both building the CFA, setting up the scouting network, bringing in players before he came, now bringing in players while he's here. Guardiola pretty much has whatever he wants to do. Like, he can stay here as long as he wants, and this club are going to support him. And I am fine with that. I mean, he obviously can't have another trophy-less season, but, I mean, if Guardiola turns Manchester City into just a dominant front, And you start to see this transformation into one of the most dominant teams in the world, I don't really care what the outcome of the season is. I say keep pressing forward because the results will eventually come. You know, there are a lot of competitions, and depending on how you prioritize things or the talent that you have, just, you know, the football gods may go against you one day against the Milton Keynes Dons. You know, it just may flip and happen. Or against Middlesbrough. It just always seems to happen against them, doesn't it?
Yeah, we've had those games. Like, well, I really don't know how they didn't win that. It happens.
Mm-hmm. And I think that as long as City are moving forward in a positive direction and building something that's going to last forever, I am fine with Guardiola being here. I look at what he's bringing in and I say, okay, 10 to 15 years from now, well, maybe not 10 to 15 years, but within 10 years, how good is this club going to be? Like, you keep supplying him the funds to bring in these players who want to come and play for Pep. How good is this club going to end up being? You know, even if, you know, he ends up moving on after 3 years or 5 years, I think it'll be more like five. But even if he ends up moving on, like, the next manager that comes in is going to be like, you mean I've got Maddison in his prime, I've got De Bruyne in his prime, I've got Sterling in his prime, Bernardo Silva in his prime, Kyle Walker in his prime. Like, I mean, it's going to be ridiculous. He's going to have world-class footballers
Not to mention whoever else they sign between now and then.
right. Yeah, we have no idea who else is coming.
Maybe Kylian Mbappe will be here. Who knows?
Gabriel Jesus, you know, boom, there you go.
It's amazing how we can sit there and reel off all those names and forget that one, huh?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, do you have anything to add before we run off here?
Other than our listener questions, not much, man. I think this is one of the best trains for Windows I've ever seen. If this doesn't get you excited, I don't know what will. I am thrilled. I mean, I am thrilled for July 26th. Like, I can't even begin to tell you how excited I am to have tickets to go and see a team in what'll be, like, their third or fourth preseason game. So how many of these players am I going to get to see? The only one would be, like, you wouldn't see Alexi Sanchez or Bernardo Silva because they would be competing in the Confederations Cup this summer. But, yeah, how many of these players am I going to get to see? Kyle Walker? Yep. I mean, it's going to be so awesome. I can't wait to see this team.
Mm-hmm. It's just a shame that Bernardo Silva won't be there because of the stupid Confederations Cup, but life goes on.
Yeah. Yeah, the Confederations Cup is such a pointless tournament.
I know we did get a couple questions on transfers. I am going to, for your benefit and ours, save them for Sam Lee because he will know better than us on that front. I do have the question here from Ringo Matrix asking, who, if any, are the kids that are going to see some action next season?
Well, we know that Brahim Diaz is going to see action.
Yeah, there's a few guys that are promoting the first team, I saw. Mm-hmm.
Three players, I saw.
Yeah, the ones that Khaldun name-checked in the end-of-season interview, I feel like he name-checked for a reason. That was Phil Foden, Jadon Sancho, and Brahim Diaz. And I don't know what their plans are in midfield otherwise. That will be something to ask Sam Lee about. But Alex Garcia.
Yeah.
If we keep saying it, maybe it will come true.
Yeah, exactly. Assuming we get our target, do we have a typical starting 11 or rotate based off form in games and practices? I honestly think it's going to be a combination of the two.
Yep.
You'll see a lot of form, but there are going to be games where Guardiola is just going to say, okay, you know, De Bruyne, you need to spell out. And that's what we're talking about. That's why you have this depth.
It also depends on how many competitions they're in at any given point, you know, things like
that. And I think Guardiola changes the lineup based off who he thinks can have the biggest impact in the game. Like, he might feel, okay, this is a game in which Bernardo Silva will have a bigger impact than Raheem Sterling. Like, Pep Guardiola is going to know his players and put them in positions to succeed, so I think you'll see a combination of all of that.
Yep, absolutely.
And I think that's Mr. Aguia has, say we get all our targets, left back, right back, center, midfield, and Sanchez and company stays fit, do we need a CH or do we wait until the right one is available? I think that they're gonna wait until they're gonna get a center back no matter what. That's gonna happen. They do not rely, they're not going to rely on company to stay fit. As for a center midfielder, I think through a combination of promotion, signing of Yaya, and just frankly lack of, like, the money can be spent elsewhere. Like, center midfield is not really the biggest, like, I mean, what do you really need? You already have so many creative midfielders and so many talented midfielders, and now you have Yaya, who's dispatched he and Fernando as center defensive midfielders. There's really not a need to sign a center midfielder. So I'm answering both in case. But there's a definite need to sign a center back. And I think whether it's Bonucci, Lucas Hernandez, or Virgil van Dijk, they're going to sign one of them because they want somebody who can step in if Vincent Kompany goes out. Now, see, the weird thing about Virgil van Dijk is that there's no veteran leadership there. he's just a quality young player. If you get Bonucci, now you're talking about the finished product, which we've talked about on this podcast before. I think that they will take the center back that that is cost prohibitive and that they can get. Like, I mean, Lucas Hernandez would have been fine if they could get him, and that would have happened until Atletico's transfer ban. So that would have been a fine fit. And if they would have gone out and got Virgil van Dijk as well, would have been fine with that. If they want to wait and sign Leonardo Bonucci, I can't even begin to tell you how fine with that I would be. I don't know. I think that the center back is going to be the most important position. I think it's just going to be one of those ones that plays itself out.
Yep. They'll sign a center back. I don't know who. That's what we'll ask Sam Lee.
Yeah, it'll play itself out some way.
They'll sign someone. Okay, so.
Done.
Hooray. As I said, we will be back next week. We will talk to Sam Lee. We will continue to appeal for your questions for him and for us, and we will pose them to him. Until then, you can follow us on Twitter, @AmericaCitizens. Tweet us your questions there, and we will definitely take them into account. You can subscribe to us on iTunes. We are sponsored by Blog Talk Radio. And if they sign 5 new players before we talk to Sam Lee, then we'll just deal with that. We will talk to you again next week. Thank you for listening, everyone. Oh,
that's, I do want to say
the sound
one thing.
Of something that is remembered.
Yeah. I want to say thank you to Ian Cheeseman, who was a guest on this podcast in our infancy. I want to say thank you to Ian. Wish him well. I don't know if Blue Tuesday is going to continue, if that means they've pulled the plug on it, or if simply Ian Cheeseman will no longer be the host. Hopefully Blue Tuesday continues, because it's one of my favorite podcasts. But it won't be the same without Ian Cheeseman if it does. He has just been a voice of not just reason, but of conscience, of Ian Cheeseman is one of the rare journalists in football that he's not trying to be the story. He's trying to tell the story the best way he knows how. And he's responsible in everything that he does. And that's why he's such a joy to listen to, is because he's plugged in. But at the same time, he just knows how to tell a story. And so many journalists insert themselves into the story. Ian Cheeseman was a master at just telling a story. And Manchester City was lucky to have him as a voice and on the radio calling Man City games. It's not going to be the same without him. I just want to wish him well in his career, whatever his next stop is, or if he's retiring. I want to wish him the best in retirement, but I just wanted to say thank you, because he helped us out when we were in our infancy, and he will be missed.
Absolutely. I cannot tell you, I probably still have the outtakes of that podcast somewhere, and I think both of us were just absolutely giddy that we were just getting to talk our stupid little American podcast, getting to talk to Ian Cheeseman, the voice of Manchester City. Yeah. It was something I will take with me, and the absolute best.
We had so many damn phone calls before that show, just of, all right, so what are we going to talk to him about? You know, like, we
did not want to waste the man's time.
No.
Or feel like we were, or anything like that.
I don't think we've ever put in so much work into a show, like the pre-production of the show. Like, we've never, and we will probably never again match that, unless, like, Mark Stein comes on. But, you know, we were giddy as all hell, man. We were like little school children. And then when he dropped the Joe Hart news on our podcast, and we were the first people to ever have that, like, Gray and I were like, did that just happen? Did that just happen on our podcast? Like, did we just get breaking news on our podcast? Like, We're gobsmacked is pretty much the best way to put it. And yeah, man, it lent a little oomph to our podcast, if you will. And in that alone, we could never repay him for just the validity it gave to our podcast to have somebody on like that breaking that kind of news. Yeah, I don't think I'll ever be that excited about a guest unless like Sergio Aguero comes on the podcast or we get like Martin Tyler or something. Yeah. It's hard to see me being that excited.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. Well said. So we will talk to you with our guest next week. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend, everybody, and we'll talk to you again soon.